It's time again for the Scotty Johnny podcast with your host, Scotty Johnny himself, John Barnett, and the ego himself, Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam, talking Wisconsin sports, NFL through D3, college hockey, doesn't matter. Two mics, two crusty vets, two opinions, one based in reality and one based in what do you bet on Twitter, with music by Delete Great Cars and Trucks. Here's John and Aaron.
Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome in to the Scotty Johnny podcast. I am your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett. And with me, as per usual, is Aaron Flottam.
Hey, John, what's going on, man?
Oh, just regular work. Just a good day's work. Driving out to my new job a little bit. And, fighting the good fight, Aaron. Where were you this morning?
I was on vacation today, so.
That's fabulous. That's better.
You should have seen my 4th of July display on Saturday night. It was ridiculous. I may have committed a couple felonies because my in-laws do, in fact, live in Minnesota.
La, 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 la,
no. La, 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 la.
Yeah, they don't allow fireworks in Minnesota, which is why the fireworks sales places are always like in Hudson and St. Croix and La Crosse.
And I went up there and I was a little tentative. I didn't even bring the full arsenal with me, which would have been enough to hold down a squad for 10 to 15 minutes if I needed to, like actual armed squad of military people. But I only brought about 5 minutes into it. And they live in the country. I should have brought the full arsenal because everyone's doing their own displays this year. It was ridiculous. Like, and nobody got ticketed, nor should anybody. So
my neighbors were having a lot of fun, but when it was 11:30 and I had an infant in bed who was being woken up by the people just shooting off, one after another, then I went out and was like, hey, knock it off. And, to their credit, they immediately stopped and they went inside. And it was fine.
And actually, to be fair with everybody else, even on a Saturday night, it was pretty much done by 10. Like, everybody kind of waited till about 9:45, went nuts, and it was done by 10:30. So everyone seemed pretty good. Now, the neighbors down the road had a fireworks display Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night, all during those times. And we have a dog that doesn't like fireworks, but anyhow. So anyway, so John, where can we find you on Twitter?
Well, first off, I'll say that you can find the show at... where is it? Scotty Johnny Pod on the Twitter machine. If you've got one of the Twitter machines, you can also follow me at Not So Humble Host. And Aaron, I believe they can follow you because I follow you.
I don't know why.
That's fun.
follow me at Cheddar Talk, at Cheddar Talk, John. And I'm also the proud owner of at Red Tails Football.
Oh, as man. Well on Twitter. That's so good. I love it.
I didn't get WAS Red Tails, but I did get Red Tails football. But
that's so good.
Just in case there was a payday. Coming
Hail to the
future.
Red Tails. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. I'm all for it. I want them to take that name. I think that'd be a great name. So
yeah, I'll remind everybody that you can find us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and many, many more places all across the interwebs. But of course, please remember that wherever you do find us, to subscribe, download, listen, rate, and review us. And it helps other people find the show. And thank you for joining us this week. Special shouts out, of course, to our friends in the UK, in Canada, of course, Ontario, Manitoba, sometimes BC and Quebec as well, and
Belarus,
and frequently now Northwest Territories. So thank you to our far northern friends and Inuit brothers. So.
Okay. Thank you, Yellowknife and Dawson.
Moose Knuckle.
Wait, no.
No, let's not.
No, dude, Dawson's in the Yukon. Okay, thank you, Yellowknife.
Anybody, all of you. All right, we're going to get things kicked off here and start off with our main event.
Starting things off with the main event.
All right, Aaron. So the couple big things here in terms of Packers, because we always start Packers unless there's nothing and we have giant news somewhere else, which we don't have giant news somewhere else because there's not giant news for most sports here, except for the one big NFL thing. Packers did sign A.J. Dillon and Jordan Love this week. So I believe they're now at a spot where they have signed 6 of their 9 draft picks. And, of course, they're top 2, which is the big thing you want to get at here. It's not a big deal like it used to be. Like, signing guys now is mostly just how much is the offset and how much of it's going to be guaranteed and how much of it is going to be If you get cut and signed by another team, how much do you have to pay back and all that? There's a few things they argue about and discuss. And, you know, they basically have them all worked out. So the amount of money is just an unchanging sort of thing.
Who's the last big one? Was it Bradford or was it Stafford?
Bradford has made more money just kind of being a guy who everyone is looking to cut than anybody I've ever seen. He's made so many giant paydays. Got signed out of Oklahoma, drafted out of Oklahoma, made a giant payday, went and was okay. Then I'm trying to think of how he moved around. So it was like the Rams.
He went to the Vikings, then to the Eagles.
He did set
the single season completion percentage record.
Yeah. All right. Cool. So awesome. Going back to Stafford, who you talked about, we had some Lions fan trying to tell us this, how underrated Stafford is, which, again, I'll say I think he's rated. I mean, he's a good quarterback. He's an above-average quarterback and is treated as such. He's just not a
– He's not underrated. He's just
– He's rated. He's not overrated. He's just rated. But
if he were to win more – if his teams were to win more games, then I'd be on that side. I'd say, he's got a slightly higher talent level than what the numbers are showing. But – but his teams haven't won. That's the problem.
I don't even think it's that.
Is he one of the more talented quarterbacks in the NFL? Absolutely he is. He's got amazing arm ability. He has an uncanny ability to make some throws once in a while, which are just like, ooh, wow, what was that? But they don't win anything, and he's a volume passer. So he is
He's got an incredible arm talent, but he's kind of boneheaded at times. He throws into a bunch of coverages. One of the stats they gave to show how underrated he is that he, do you know that since he's been drafted, he leads the league in pass attempts? I was like, that's not great for you. You know, like that's not how you decide how great someone is, how many times they've attempted to throw a football.
You can put me on a team.
I will throw it every time.
I could lead the league in pass attempts too. Drops back, throws.
What is it? It's like a 20, is it like a 23.8 rating for throwing an incomplete pass every play, something like that? I could do that for you all day long.
As long as you don't get picked off.
Yeah. I wouldn't, because I just throw it. I can throw into the crowd. I just, just wing it.
Just mocks it right into the mascot of the other team.
Nobody can sack me in a second. I just catch the ball, spin it, and just wing it out of bounds. We would never win a game, but I would have that 20-whatever rating every game.
That's using that stat, it would basically be like, he's a great pitcher. He led the league in walks last year. He's out there throwing the ball. Come on.
Led the league in innings. Well, innings pitched actually is more impressive. If you just said pitches thrown, you're like, all right. No, that doesn't mean anything. Innings pitched means you stayed in games longer. But no, just pitches thrown. You're like, well, throw fewer pitches and get in somewhere and strike somebody out maybe. One of the other things that's come up is information went out to season ticket holders for the Green Bay Packers this last week talking about trying to have football games and understanding that we're almost certainly, if we have football, going to have social distancing. So they're allowing the season ticket owners to opt out, at least just for the year, to try to say, like, look, we understand this year's going to be weird and different. We're going to have to change the way we seat people. We're going to give you the first chance to opt out. Whoever wants to opt out can, and then we'll try to see what we can do with what's left. They're looking at cutting down drastically the number of people that are going to be in Lambeau Field and at least preparing everybody for that possible eventuality, which day by day seems like almost certainty, right?
Right. Yeah, no, I don't know. It's like, what are you going to do? Every third row, every third seat? And are you allowed to sit with your wife, with your kids, in which case you have to make a bigger space around you if you have five people? And being at the Quick Trip in Portage, Wisconsin today, Wisconsinites aren't big on the whole social distancing or the mask thing. So I don't know how that's going to work at all. What are you going to do, kick them out?
Yeah, because, I guess you have a ticket, but they still reserve the right to maintain the stadium however they feel is proper. And they always tell you they can remove you for any other reasons. And if, you know, player safety and safety of the individuals who are also in the game requires that they just apparently buy back bunches of tickets because they can't keep that money.
How many season ticket holders are there?
I don't know the total number, but it's every seat in Lambeau Field is a season ticket holder seat.
Okay. So
there's 80,000 tickets for every game that are season ticket holders.
So there's none that aren't. Everyone's a season ticket holder.
No, there are no individual game tickets to Lambeau Field. It's not like elsewhere. They don't have, you know, like if you drive into Minnesota in, you know, early August, sometimes September, even you hear all those ads. They're like, "Hey, you should get your single ticket Viking games now." And they don't have. You never hear that in Green Bay or anywhere at all for the Packers.
I feel oddly dimed out right now as a Packers fan. I thought there was a certain set amount that weren't.
No. Everything that's
like
in there,
10,000. So those people that own like
boxes,
20, 30.
The boxes are different, but all the seats are season ticket holders.
Those people that those groups that hold like 20, 30 tickets, those are all season tickets.
Yeah,
I did not know that. I'm sorry, I thought there was still a contingent of seats in Lambeau Field that were single game tickets, just so other people had a chance. Well, I'll tell you what, it's only going to be season ticket holders at the because they're going to have to tell season ticket holders no. I can tell you that much right now.
Well, the first thing they've already said is they're not going to make the distinction for gold and green package tickets this year, it sounds like. Mm-hmm. For those of you who don't understand, the thing is the Packers used to be, as we call the state team, they would play one preseason game at Camp Randall. And I used to go to that one every year with my grandparents.
Game, right?
Yeah, or the Shriners game, I think.
Shriners game.
And then they also would play two games a year in Milwaukee. And actually one preseason game, I think, in Milwaukee. So, but, you know, eventually, you know, County Stadium was not a great place to watch football.
No.
And they started just
saying, those are the tickets that my aunt Susie's a season ticket holder. And she
gold
has
package.
The gold package. Yeah.
Yep, gold package tickets. My parents have those, too. Those aren't going to happen this year. So, essentially, there's two regular season games and a preseason game, which belong to a certain sect of people who are the old Milwaukee tickets. My parents don't drive from Milwaukee and have not lived in Milwaukee. So they just have them, though they live in central Wisconsin here too. But yeah, they're not going to have that distinction. There's also, because there used to be the preseason game in like Madison or wherever, I think they still have a lottery for certain tickets to go to Dane County for individuals to see those games. So yeah, that's just going to be one thing that's going to happen to try to take care of what's going to happen with tickets this year and with trying to keep people separate. You know, if you go somewhere with people from your own household, that's generally, at least from the guidelines, like you're already living together. They keep you together. Right. But I don't know how you plan for social distancing for like if you've got a family of five or you've got a family of 10, you know, like with extended family or whatever.
It's going to be one of those crazy things. And so what about like going to the restrooms? What about going to the concession stands? How are you going to do that?
Well,
How about the halftime rush to the bathrooms?
Well, kind of like I've already seen pictures of Miller Park / AmFam Park, which I hate saying. They've got stickers on the floor.
AmFam's meant more to Wisconsin in the last 20 years than Miller has.
Yeah, but they're the brewers. They brew. It makes
sense. Miller's owned by a company in South Africa.
Yeah, still though.
AmFam's a Wisconsin company.
But they're brewers. This is like it just makes so much more sense. It makes sense to have it.
Get
that
over
way.
It, people.
No,
Miller had a chance to get the stadium naming rights back, and they let it go.
Yeah, I'm not okay with it. I'm not going to be, and you're not going to get me there.
No, you and 99% of the rest of the Brewers fans that are like, well, because it's Miller and because they make beer, because they're Brewers.
I don't say it like that, but close. You're very close. No, but they've got stickers on the floor for the concession stands.
That's Chief Wiggum having an argument right there.
That was actually pretty good, though, now that I hear it. Bake them away, toys. What? Do what the kid said. Anyhow, no, they got stickers on the floor to tell you how far apart to stand when you're in lines and things like that. I mean, people who follow them or don't follow them, I don't know, but yeah. That's a recipe for a fist fight right there.
Be a blast. I can tell you that much right now. It's going to just be, you're going to see videos. It's going to be crazy. Nobody's, no.
It's going to be just Enough people here. This is just a recipe, like I said, it's a recipe for a fist fight because somebody's going to care and it's going to be a problem. The other thing that did come down this week, so we've already talked about it, and I've been tweeting about it too. The NFL has already, they removed the Hall of Fame game. Last week we talked about they removed two preseason games. The NFLPA...
They should remove the Hall of Fame game because two teams get hosed on a preseason game. They have to do an extra preseason game. Why isn't the two teams that are in the Hall of Fame game, why don't they get another week off? I've never understood that.
I don't know. Mike Holmgren always wanted the Hall of Fame game because then he got five games instead of four to evaluate his talent. But anyhow, NFL, yeah, it's Mike Holmgren. NFLPA has unanimously recommended that there be no preseason.
Just garbage. Now,
so, I mean, that's not the NFL. That's
which
the
is
NFLPA.
Garbage because the NFL Players Association is supposed to be representing all their players, not just the ones that are going to be starters. That are worried about getting hurt. How about the new kids that are coming in? NFLPA is supposed to be watching out for their back too, and they're not doing that by doing this. I don't understand that.
Yeah, well, there's the financial aspect of it, and then there's the player safety aspect too. And I don't know how that. I mean, they approved it unanimously too, so I don't know what the conversation was in that room or how that went. But they don't want these games. I mean, getting rid of two games, that definitely was a veteran move, right? Like, the veterans wanted it there. The people who are on the boards for the Players Association are tend to be, like, player reps who have been in that locker room for years, right? You know, so there's obviously a bit of a bias towards people who've already been there. But additionally, yeah, I mean, some people are going to get cut. This does make it harder for guys who are in that, you know, they're somewhere between 50 and 90 on the depth chart right now, most likely the guys between 50 and 60 trying to get into that top 50, 53 man roster. But yeah, it's going to be,
The NFL has no feeder system. I mean, literally talent that could be there that is just 2 years off from hitting their prime and would actually make a team and could sit on a practice squad or anything like that. I mean, you don't hear about it, but I'm not talking about the high end players. I'm not like, oh, there was an NFL Hall of Fame in the coal that was just a diamond waiting to get out, and he never saw the light of day. I'm not talking about that guy. No. But there's depth people on your team. You need depth people on your team. And the NFL has no feeder system other than college at all.
Yeah.
And so I mean, you need time to evaluate your talent. And I don't know if the NFLPA, like, I understand the NFLPA coming at it from a veteran perspective, but, you know, I even listened to Ben Lieber on KFAN. And I mean, he was a linebacker for the Minnesota Vikings and for the Chargers, and he gets it. Like, he's a very smart. He's, if you want to hear good, intelligent conversation about football, listen to Ben Lieber, even though he hates the Packers, and that's just because he was on the 09 Vikings team. But anyways, but he even brought that up. He's like, yeah, as a veteran, I wouldn't want to. He's like, I'm all for it. Like, because, you know, by the time you're in year seven, like, you've honed your craft. You take care of yourself year round. It's not like how it used to be. But he's like, at the same time, I feel bad for these young kids that have no chance to prove themselves anymore. They get 2 weeks of offseason and no real game time experience against starters. And the starters don't practice against them. And then the coaches don't see whether or not they have, like, maybe there's something worth keeping this kid around to be the utility lineman on offense or defense, or being the fifth linebacker, or maybe, oh, holy smokes, this kid is a good punt returner. Like, we didn't realize he was a good punt returner because they didn't use him in college, but he returned punts in high school, and we don't have a punt returner. And he is a marginally number six D-back. Like, that's how people make it in the NFL. And they're just not going to nowadays. I mean, the way and this is sadly the way it's been trending towards over the last couple of years. It's going to be, where did we draft you? And that's how we're going to keep you. And we'll just take the shots. Yeah. And then cut you next year if it doesn't work.
Guys like Sam Shields would have been a guy who would have been very much hurt by this.
A couple guys that helped us get to the Super Bowl. Frank Zombo was the same way too.
Yeah, Zombo from Central.
Remember how many injuries the Packers had during that Super Bowl year, and absolutely, how many young guys stepped up? Starks. I mean,
yeah, Starks, because we had so many guys injured in that backfield. Just everything seemed to go wrong, and we lost Finley in the midst of that year too. Yeah, crazy season to have.
Finley almost. Did he almost die? Like at one point, like he was like the infection was so bad, like he had to go in for it. I remember that because of his knee injury. But yeah, I mean, all sorts of people were getting hurt. But yeah, James Starks is, and maybe I'm gonna dabble into hyperbole here and maybe be a little bit over the top. James Starks is as important to the Packers' run to the Super Bowl as Aaron Rodgers was.
Yeah, that's
because without Starks, there was nothing, and Starks got on fire.
He was on fire. He was definitely very important.
He made that backfield formidable enough, and then Aaron Rodgers just went surgery on those backfields. So
I would say that the only people though that were far more important would have been like Rodgers, Collins, Jennings, and then maybe Matthews and Raji, because Raji with the pick against the Bears for that touchdown. And some of his big plays, probably not as much as Starks, because he put together four great games in that and really helped out. But
oh my God, whoever's on Twitter right now going through, it's like the countdown to the season. It's like 38 to Packers or whatever, like putting together like Aaron Rodgers' best throws ever. That touchdown throw in the Super Bowl to Greg Jennings, where he threads it through a window that's about 6 inches wide.
Yeah, one of the guys he's just missing is Palomalu.
Yeah, Palomalu is one of the guys he's throwing it through their arms.
So
glory days.
I'm still not sold that there will be a football season at this point, so we'll see what we're doing here. Only a couple things here in terms of college football. One thing that I do want to bring out is that NFL.com went through and listed who is offensive lineman U, O-line U, and the obvious answer is, of course, it's Wisconsin. Ohio State and Michigan, I think, finished second and third in that list. I mean, the Big Ten dominated it. But the Badgers had the most. They have the most players and the most Pro Bowlers, and Joe Thomas in that area and stuff. It's like, yep, nope, that's O-line right.
And running backs that are hit or miss once they get to the NFL because they may or may not have as good of an O-line as they did at Wisconsin.
And they may or may not have had 5 million carries. Monte Ball had a lot of touches before he played.
James White, I think. Which one of the bunch do you think has had the best NFL career? I think James White, oddly enough, has had sneakily the best career.
Yeah, James White he's got a longevity. He's been probably the best pass catching running back in football for the last 5-6 years, something like that. I mean, he set a Super Bowl record. He's had really good seasons for a guy who did not ever make a Pro Bowl. It's hard to touch what Melvin Gordon's done, even though you can't judge running backs by Super Bowls in any way, because it's so dependent on so many other things.
Barry Sanders is the best running back of all time, and he never saw a Super Bowl.
Right.
So.
Jim Brown's better than him, and he never saw a Super Bowl. He did an NFL championship before there were Super Bowls, though. So.
Right. If there would have been Super Bowls when Jim Brown played, he would have seen a Super Bowl, but
he would have won one.
Didn't have that option. So.
The one other thing I do want to bring up for college football is the saddest thing I saw in terms of college football on the internet was a list of state by state, whether or not you are increasing, decreasing, staying steady in terms of COVID numbers recently and new cases only. The only FBS schools right now who play in states where there is a decreasing number of new cases of COVID recently are BC and UMass. That's the entire list.
Yep.
Yeah. several states are saying the same, or they're holding steady. West Point can get in because New York is holding steady at this point, but only BC and UMass are in states where it's decreasing because there's only like three of them, and the other two don't have FBS schools.
Well, without getting into the whole.
No, we're not talking about
I hate to say about the politics about it because that's kind of what it is at this point, but it's not even health related anymore. But they started it, so they should be leveling it off by now, and so everybody else is catching up, right? Is that bad math? I don't know. But anyway,
everyone else should have leveled off too. But here's the thing: the only reason I bring it up is how do we have college football?
SEC schools having the COVID parties? Have you seen that stuff?
I have. In Alabama and other places, they're actually having, in fairness, this might be happening in a lot of other places. I've seen the stories coming out of Alabama specifically of like teenagers and 20-somethings getting together and having COVID parties to see who catches it first.
The first one to get COVID parties, yeah.
I also saw, was it Mike Clay put out an article saying teams like Clemson and LSU are going to have an advantage when football starts up again because so many of their players have already been infected. They'll be past it by the time we get to the season, and it's an advantage that teams should maybe emulate. And I was like, you've got to be kidding, right? Like,
They've been talking about that. You know, I know for being a Wisconsin podcast, I listen to a lot of KFan, but Common's been bringing that one up, and so has Barrera about something's going to come out in the wake of all this 6 months from now, 8 months from now. One of these SEC coaches, because they're all insane down there, because college football is God, you're going to find out that one of them was going around telling all their players to go get COVID, so you're over it before the season starts.
Yeah.
And it hasn't come out yet, but it's going to come out. There's going to be a school that did it. You know it's going to happen.
I'm sure you're right.
And it's going to come from it's going to come from the ACC or the SEC, one of the two. Probably the SEC.
Probably, but yeah.
I'm going to hinge my bets on Ole Miss.
It seems like
an you want to put some money. Want to put some money down, John? What school's going to get caught for the COVID thing?
Oh, geez.
Well, we know Alabama's doing it, but Saban can control the media down there, so he won't get caught.
A&M.
A&M.
Yeah. Somebody else will tell one of the other schools, and then they'll definitely burn them. There's too many other Texas schools who'd be willing to destroy A&M for defecting.
It's going to be a sad day when we find out it's ooh la la. That's the worst part.
Not the Cajuns.
Raging Cajuns.
All right. We're going to move on to some baseball talk here.
They'd get past it. Just all the other teams would have to forfeit, and they'd go 11-0, and they'd be the first team. They'd finally get their national championship.
And they go 11-0 and roll into the New Orleans Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, it was totally worth it, everybody.
They had top 25 teams forfeit to them this year because of COVID.
Jeez. We are going to move on to baseball here. We do have some Brewers.
What are we going to talk about November when there's no sports, John?
I don't know. What we've been doing the last 4 months without sports.
It's just going to. And we haven't even started relying on war stories yet. I have to congratulate us right now.
Yeah, that's pretty good. We could definitely go on with that. That would just be a whole different podcast of just us griping about ridiculous things we heard or saw people do or see overseas. The Brewers are back at Miller Park. And if you haven't seen their Welcome Back to Baseball video, it was fabulous. Because I love the Brewers beginning of the season videos they make. Last year they made, of course, the Mean Girls video with Yasmani Grandal. This year, they have a Back to the Future video with Brett Suter as Doc, and then Hira playing Marty McFly.
Marty McFly. I have not seen it. Sorry, I didn't realize it came out yet.
It's like, you turned the bullpen car into a time machine?
Fantastic.
Are you sure we could take this thing on the road? Where we're going, we're not going to need roads. So good.
I'm serious. Like, if Suter started coming around last year, like off that long term injury, even if Brewers just got to keep him at this point, right? Like, veteran minimum or something like that.
Oh, he's
like,
fun. Yeah.
Oh, and he's the best.
I just love that they seem to have a ton of fun putting together weird little promo videos like that, and not just like the ones that get put on TV telling you to buy the ads. Like, the Twins do a good job of making lots of videos of, you know, like remember when they had the piranhas, like the small ball infielders, and they weren't big hitters, but they were everywhere and they're always moving. Like, they had a thing of them at like the Mall of America aquarium thing with like, oh yeah, those are sharks and look at that. And then they like, those are piranhas. And they had the infielders like in the water waving at them. I was like, that's cute and fun. And they do a good job, but it's different because this is, you know, putting together something fun. And you can tell the players basically came up with it. It was not written by somebody else. And then they told you to go do this because they're going to put it on TV. This is just only released through the internet as just something fun they do. And they seem to enjoy each other. And I love watching them do it. So it's fun.
Playing for Craig Counsell can't be that bad of a deal. He seems like a pretty chill manager. Like, he's definitely like, if he wasn't in Milwaukee, if he was in New York or anywhere else, you know, like any of the big markets, he'd be baseball genius Craig Counsell. But instead, it's the manager in Milwaukee that makes life difficult for the rest of us, and we need inning. Yeah. If you bring out a pitcher, he has to pitch to three batters and blah 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 whatever because he's not playing baseball right. And it's like, shut up. But anyways,
if he were a Cardinals manager, they would change rules to make sure he could do whatever he wanted. But he's a Brewers manager, so they're going to play against him.
Right.
Yeah.
So hey. So I got.
And he's
I got a question.
Forever
I got a question
15 years
for you.
Old.
So I think the Oakland A's started the trend, and Milwaukee was close behind. And Oakland started where they're going to, if you for $80, you can get a cutout of yourself put in it in one of the seats in the foul ball zone. And if the ball hits your cutout, the Oakland A's will mail you
your
the
baseball?
Ball that hit you.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
And then the Brewers said that you can get a cutout as well, but you're going to be up in the 420 section, 422 section, the Euchre section. but that was it. Why wouldn't you sell a cutout for every seat in your stadium if you were a baseball team?
I don't know. I
know that's some manpower and that's a little bit of something. But I mean, there's people who'd pay $100 to be a cutout. And if the ball hits you, whatever. I mean, I think that would be great. If the Brewers were to sell out every single seat in the whole stadium, and if the ball hits you, and you could prorate it. So like if you're up in the way in the high rise seats in the upper left hand corner of the stadium, you know, off the foul poles. Like way up there. Like that's a $40 seat. But if you're in the areas right behind the dugouts, up out to the third baseline, where there's a lot of foul balls, or if you're in left center, out in the bleachers, those are going to cost you $120.
Yeah, I'm seeing this now. So yeah, installed in seats adjacent, either in or adjacent to the 422 at Miller Park games.
Right. That's Euchre section where the Euchre stands.
$50 to submit a photo to appear in a cutout be stationed in the upper deck Miller Park seating bowl. Proceeds for this will go towards the Brewers Community Foundation. The cutout crew sale began July 2nd. That's interesting.
Hell,
I'll take it
one step further. Okay, so if it costs too much to make a cutout for everybody, how about this instead? So you have cutouts only in certain places, however, comma, you can buy any seat you want without a cutout for $50 and spiked up a little bit in those areas I was talking about. Sorry, the spiked up isn't probably a good word right now. Anyways, but so you pay a little bit more for left field and right field where the home runs land and the foul ball zones, not even a cutout, but you just own that seat. And with video, you can figure out where that ball landed. If it hits your seat, you get the ball.
Fair enough.
Pick it up at Miller Park, or we'll send it to you for free.
It'd be fun.
Because paid $50 for that seat.
Bucks,
why
yeah.
not?
It's cheaper than what you'd pay to mail it, obviously. So, yeah. No, I'm on board with that. That definitely sounds like a fun idea. I don't know that I'm going to...
Well, baseball owners are complaining that they're going to lose all this money off ticket sales. Why not come up with some way to make up for that difference, right?
Well, and in this case, the money isn't actually going to the team. It's going to go to their community foundation. So that's also nice that they're not doing it as just a way of just making money for themselves. They're going to donate a lot of that. And that goes towards like building parks and things around City of Milwaukee and the area around it too, especially the five-county
okay,
area.
Okay, sweet. So the non-cutout seats where the ball can just land?
No,
50-50. The team keeps 50%. The community fund gets the other 50%. They could be month by month.
Sure.
No, yeah, there we go.
That's on board with that. That sounds like
I don't
idea.
Know why I'm not working for Brewers Marketing right now.
I don't
now.
Know why the phone isn't ringing yet. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, because we're still recording. We haven't posted it yet. I'm expecting calls at 1 o'clock in the morning.
All right,
today.
So it's 555-7892. No.
John, stop putting my number on the podcast.
One of the other things that was fun this week is Craig Council kind of arranged to have several of the family members for the Brewers team come on and do a giant Zoom call on the Jumbotron. So they don't get to see their families. Brock Holt was talking about it was difficult. I believe his wife is pregnant right now and the difficulties of trying to play a 60-game season where you're not going to see your families and you're traveling a bit and trying to stay away from everybody. But they're trying to, you know, find ways to keep them together. And Council said he got together with the wives. He got together with their they're sound and sight people. They're you know, people for the Jumbotron and everything like that. And they worked out a plan for how to get this thing to work where they could have some kind of a, you know, giant thing with getting the families together with the players all on the field and trying to help the guys out a little bit there. So that was, it was just a cool thing to do. And so that was a lot of fun to see. In the less fun part,
and that's why I said too. Yeah. Craig Council would be a super fun dude to play for. Anyways, he seems like he'd be a blast
because he's been 18 years old for 30 years.
Oh my God! I was watching ESPN's running all the old. You know how they're just running all the greatest hits now when the Arizona Diamondbacks World Series games.
Yeah, those were great.
There's a reason why Craig Council still gets cheered every time they play in Arizona.
Yeah.
Oh, he was amazing.
He was
not quite David Ortiz a couple years back amazing, but he was pretty amazing.
He was so critical for both the Diamondbacks and the Marlins. Isn't he like on the wall in Marlins Stadium for one of their World Series?
Yeah,
because
I forget that too. Yeah.
Like a walk-off hit for them in one of those games too. It was like he's massively valuable to several different organizations. But he's ours because he's from Whitefish Bay.
Two organizations that were flashing the pans at one World Series before the Cubs did. All right. There we go.
All right. The one thing that we do have to add at the end here is that two Brewers, Angel Perdomo and Luis Urias, have both tested positive for COVID and are not with the team. Urias is one of those guys that they brought over from the Padres from last year. Mm-hmm. So they're feeling definitely like... You know, listening to Council talking about Urias in particular, and you know he's asymptomatic at this point, so he's not going through a lot, at least at this point, in terms of dealing with symptoms and such. But we don't know the lasting effects on some of the stuff. But also, he's losing a year of his career essentially for a young guy who's on the grow. You know, all his momentum in terms of his career trajectory.
They're sending him home or what?
He can't be with the team. He's got to be separate, and he's not with the team right now. So either one of them, they can't be with the team right now. So it's going to be a rough stint.
Why can't they be with the team when after 14 days?
Possibly. Well, depending if they're actually cured in 14 days. 14 days is the amount of time in which you might either be or not be, because 14 days is that. But you might take 3, 4, 10 weeks to recover. Some people are taking 3 months to recover. So when he recovers and he works himself, I mean, I don't know if he's ever going to show symptoms, but if he recovers and gets back into shape, I believe he can be brought back to the team. But at this point, he's not. And the games are going to start on the 24th here. So we are a couple weeks away from having baseball again. And
we're not going to have any sports then. Sorry, they're done.
Yeah,
well, we may as well just shift this over to a military podcast for about the next 6 months. So, because this is how it's going to go. I mean, it's like
this is why they have the increased schedules. This is why the increased roster, though. That 45 or whatever, that we went over the other week, just they're hoping to have just a bunch of guys. If anything happens, they can hopefully just seal people off. And I mean, it's a hope. It's the hope that what they think they can do.
We should have done everything we could have to keep CC Sabathia, because we need him right now, and just put him in a bubble by himself. And you're going to pitch every game, all 9 innings.
He's like 67 now.
It worked once before for us.
He's done. Yeah. So looking at the
Urias is the guy that's supposed to be our starting shortstop now, right?
Well, I would still assume it's going to be Arcia, but Urias is going to be heavily in the rotation this year,
right? Because what I was seeing on Twitter is that why haven't we gotten rid of Arcia yet? We've got this guy now.
I don't want to get rid of Arcia.
Dun dun dun.
Well, now we know.
Now you know why.
No. So, I do want to go over. Today is the day, Monday, the 6th. Of July is the day that they have released a schedule to begin. I believe it's over the 23rd and 24th. The Brewers will start their season on the 24th of July.
There you go.
Which is crazy. And again, they will start with the Cubs, which last time was going to be the home opener, but the Brewers are going to start. This is the fun part of the schedule. It's 60 games. Their first 60 games are on the road, and their last six games are on the road. So it's Cubs and Pirates to start off with, and then it ends with, I said Cubs, Pirates, and it's going to end with Reds and Cardinals. So yeah, that's. So you got to start making hay right away in August, because they're going to have a decent stretch in August. I mean, they have one period at the end of August from the 21st through the 31st. They're going to play three games at Pittsburgh, then four games at home against the Reds, and then four games at home against the Pirates. I mean, that's an 11 game stretch that you hopefully have some good luck in there and can get some things done with a bunch of home games. You're also going to start August with, well, the back half of what is, you know, well, back two-thirds of what is a home series against the Cardinals. Then you do a 2-2 split with the White Sox. Then you've got three games with the Reds, three games with the Twins before you go on the road against the Cubs and Twins. So, yeah, Twins and Cubs on that road stretch there is going to be a tough one, but they got a chance to do something in August, and that's really where they're going to have to kind of make their hay. They're going to have to get out early this year, because there's not going to be a lot of chasing late. It's a possibility.
Well, everyone's going to have to get out early. I mean, it's a 60-game season. If you come out 0-10, you may as well just pack it up and say we've all got COVID, forfeit the rest of the season.
Depending on your schedules and how things work out. Because, I mean, like, if you look at how the team ends here, I guess, they do get Kansas City, three games at home against Kansas City, and then three games on the road against the Reds. Those are games they'll have a good shot at. I think, and then, but then you're going to end with four games against St. Louis. And I guess I was wrong. It's six games to start season, seven games on the road to end. It's, you really kind of have to do it in the middle there, because September is going to be hard, because you're going to,
I don't think home and away games are going to even make that big of a difference, to be perfectly honest.
Only in terms of that people are more familiar with the confines of their own stadiums than elsewhere. It affects somewhat.
The thing is, everyone says, like, well, when they're on the road, they're away from their family, they're away from their house. They can't go to their house and their family right now anyways. No. Every game's an away game.
The one difference is, like, baseball in this way is very unique among all the sports. A basketball hoop, kind of like Hoosiers. If you measure everything, a basketball court is a basketball
10
court.
10 feet tall, 15.
Yeah, and same with an ice rink. The only thing that changes with an ice rink is sometimes the boards play differently. And
or
sometimes,
if you're playing on Olympic size or NHL size.
Well, the NHL always plays on NHL size ice, obviously. But warm weather teams actually have softer ice because it's harder to keep it cool. So it actually makes you more tired. And, of course, playing in Colorado makes you more tired. Football playing indoors or outdoors on grass or on, you know, turf changes things a little bit, but the field is the same dimensions. Baseball is the only one where you get to choose the size of your diamond, your park. I mean, the main diamond is always the same, and then everything in the outfield is kind of up to you. So my dad likes pointing out,
we're going to build a wall. It's going to be 60 feet tall, and we're going to make it green.
Yeah, home plate.
We're going to call it the monster.
Home plate is the only place on an entire baseball field that basically defines anything. Because it gives you the two start points and the directions for where the lines have to go. After that, that line can go forever. It's the only place where the diamond, where the field technically really ends, is home plate. And I like thinking about it that
way. I wish there was still a place like the Polo Grounds where there's 510 feet to center field. You know, it's the edge of the bullpen.
What's fun is, have you ever found
it? Like the New York Polo Grounds?
Oh, yeah.
It was an oval, Yeah, you had to hit 510 feet to hit a home run in the Polo Grounds.
But it was very short in the corners. If you,
If
you own like, MLB The Show, you've played it, I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
It was
2 feet in the corners, right?
Something very close.
If
you want something fun to do, you can also know that somewhere in the Mall of America on the first floor is the spot where home plate was from the old Met Stadium. The home plate is still, well, at least. It's not that home plate, but there's a home plate there from the spot where home plate was, because the Mall of America is built on top of the place where the Vikings used to actually win and the Twins played when they came out there in Bloomington. So that's cool to find when you go there.
So we're going to tear it down because this stadium sucks, and then we're going to put up a dome that's state-of-the-art. Then 20 years later, we're going to tear that dome down, and we're going to put baseball back outside in a state that has snow until May. And our football team's going to be in an indoor stadium because football's made to be played indoors.
Yeah.
But we're going to make the college team play outside interesting.
Giving up a massive home field advantage and not making people go play in Minnesota in the weather.
We will not have any sort of option to have the Twins play inside US Bank Stadium in case they do make it to a World Series that goes into November. Or a snow out in early March.
Could happen this year.
We're not going to include that in the design at all. In an emergency precaution, we're just going to let those games get snowed out. Or we'll go play in Milwaukee, where they have an enclosed stadium.
Excellent.
True backup plan for the Minnesota Twins, by the way. If they ever make it to a World Series and they get snowed out in November, they will go play in Milwaukee. That's a signed contract, I think.
That's fun.
Anyhow.
All right. So where's
the only place where Zimbrano threw a no hitter?
Oh yeah, but it was against who was it?
The Cleveland Indians.
The Cleveland Indians while in Miller
in
Park,
Milwaukee. Yep. And Bob Uecker should have came and done the games.
Yeah.
Just think of it.
Bob Uecker will be in some sort of bubble. I hope. They're trying to be very careful with him. Obviously, he's the oldest man in Wisconsin. No, he is an elderly man, and you gotta be careful with him. He doesn't seem like it because he's at every party that they throw for the Brewers. But he was on
Dan Patrick not last week, but the week before. I think it was Friday, two Fridays ago, and I should have talked about it last week. But we had football immortality Andy Herman on, yeah. And so we didn't get around to it. But God, he was on Patrick. He's still so good. Oh yeah. He's so good. He's still so smart. And Dan Patrick even caught him with a one of those questions about, like, you don't take anything seriously. And he's like, he didn't even say no, but he came up with something else. Like, Dan had him in a corner, and he still wiggled his way out without saying anything serious. Like, it's like, God, he's the best.
He's so good. He's so great. We got to keep him safe.
Yes.
Moving on. The Bucks.
Oh yeah, Dan asked him about what do you think about all this and being safe, and he's like, "No, I think I can do a game over a screen or something." Like it was just like
he doesn't need to even be talking about the game. Just have him voicing over anything while the game is playing. He can just talk about his life while the game is happening.
He was talking about Lane Grindle and the other guy, Lane Grindle and.
I'm at a loss here.
I'm hurting right now. The other two guys that do the games now. Lane Grindle, but he was talking about them, and he gave them all the credit in the world. He's just a true professional. He just talked about the other guys the whole time, like good. Whenever they brought up the COVID thing, and like whether or not he'd be there or whatnot. And so, I mean, yeah, I love Bob.
Bob's the best.
Yes, he is.
Moving on from the Brewers, though, with the one thing we'll say is the Bucks have now closed up their kind of preseason, their training camp sort of thing. But they closed down and locked up the facilities after the team received the results of COVID tests. But we don't know what that means. They have not come out and said we did so as precaution, or we did so because we're done, or we did so because so-and-so or whatever has it. And they locked down the facilities, and they're not planning on going back into facilities until they go to Orlando to start their kind of preseason before they play their 8 games. And I think each team gets something like 3 exhibition games before they start playing that 8 game schedule. But still waiting to hear exactly what's going on with that. They locked down Sunday afternoon or so after getting results back from COVID tests. I don't know if it just means everybody's safe and they're just going to lock them away now, or if it means something happened. But that's definitely going to be something that's going to be watched, because this came out and it was not reported in the way of like local news covered it. It was covered on like Bleacher Report and ESPN and stuff like that. All put that out. They didn't say what Houston did. They didn't say what anyone else did. They said the Bucks shut down their facilities, and they were the only team they talked about in that regard. So something is going on, which should give us possibly some concern as to what that means. But I couldn't tell you what it means. I have no idea. I don't know what that means.
No, I mean, did we talk about this with Andy last week? I don't think we did. But the whole thing, like, with Zeke Elliott complaining about the HIPAA stuff, with the corona. And
then, yeah, we didn't talk to Andy about that.
And then for getting to shut off his Twitch channel and admitting that he was high. Low cut faded. Is that what he said?
Yeah, anyways, I missed that part. I guess
basically admitted on Twitch that he was high. What were we saying here? About the HIPAA stuff though. Like, and I know me and you talked about this. Maybe we talked about it offline. But like, baseball is not announcing who has COVID, but it's going to be real obvious when someone is out for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, or and they don't have a upper body, lower body injury or anything like that. What are you going to say? You know, it's like, well, what do? You know, it's like, so I mean, so basketball, here it is. I mean,
it's a little different.
I mean, it's such a gray, fuzzy area, because the other problem is too, is that all these, especially in the NBA, which is a much, you know, well, I can't really say with the NBA, because I mean, NFL is actually probably the youngest league, and the only people that stick around long enough are the all-stars. It's like,
well, quarterback,
of course, but like the Twins announced today that Miguel Sano had corona too. And he's like, it was a surprise to me too. Like, cause he's like, yeah, I feel fine. You know, yeah. I drove from Duluth back home today, so I listened to KFAN the whole way back. So I'm just filled with Minnesota news right now.
All kinds of Twins.
But you know, and that's what it is too. It's, you know, it's like a lot of these players, and the thing is too, is the lowest risk group of anybody being affected by COVID are in shape athletes. Not Pablo Sandoval out there in San Francisco. I'll show you. I'll send you pictures later.
His rotundity, yes.
He's gotten big.
Just like Sputnik. Sputnik. He's spherical yet pointy in places.
Sputnik only weighed 16 pounds, John. Anyways, look it up. You know, it's one of those weird things. It's like, it's, you know, and everybody's like, well, the trainers and the coaches and this, that, and the next thing. It's like, it's going to be really, really hard to keep these players in check, because I mean, they're in the lowest risk group out of anybody. They are 20 sums that are in amazing shape, that have taken care of their bodies. You know, even the low end athletes that play in all these leagues fight every day to make sure that they can continue to be pro athletes. I mean, it's a weird thing. It's a weird world we're in, and it's, you know, it's like,
yeah,
you want to lump them in with the general population, but you can't, because they're not the general population.
Right.
And they know they're not the general population.
And if these asymptomatic, highly, you know, competitive people get lumped in with the general population who are not, then they can still spread, is the problem.
And you want your athletes to think that they're Superman, because otherwise they won't play at their top levels.
Right.
So, you know, that's
why the teams have to step in and make sure they're doing the testing, and they make sure they tell them, like, no, you're not playing, not till you get cleared and until you're good. I mean, that's how teams do things. I mean, that's what happens with injuries. Players would come back from injuries way faster than a lot of the teams would let them, because the teams have an investment. They have money invested in these players for this year and next year, and they're like, no, you're no good to me if you're broke. You know, so yeah, that's...
I wonder at the same time too, and I'm going to start fringing on something else here. It's like, so even if it is, I mean, but they're still within the bubble. Like you said it right there. It's like, well, there's a worry that they're going to spread it to other people. Well, if they're still in the bubble,
well, then
who else are they going to spread it to if they're quarantined within the bubble?
I don't know. That's the thing, is like, you want to keep them in the bubble, and that way you can keep control of them with your medical staff, and then hopefully you can get them through it as well as anybody can, because you'll have the facilities to do that, and then just manage it as best you can and try to avoid, you know, spreading if you can do so, because you still don't want to see if there's long-term effects, because we don't know. You don't want to have to put them in an unnecessary risk, because again, baseball more than other sports, I mean, you're looking to get 10 years out of these guys. I mean, these guys are looking for long runs in baseball, especially more than, you know, football necessarily. But that's, yeah, you're just trying to make sure you're not having your entire team gone. You want to have the fewest people missing games as possible and try to get through this safely and quickly without massively affecting your team. But
it's not going to work though, because the first time anyone tests positive, everybody else has been exposed. That team is going to be the other team don't want to play that team.
The one thing I'll say is I saw this week. What the Red Sox did is they turned their box seat into like private locker rooms. So they're not planning on having fans in there. So they turned the upper stadium box seats into locker rooms so they could all be socially distanced locker rooms. They also took the entire, if you've ever been to Fenway, took the entire concourse along the outfield area there, which is a very cool area to walk around. Then they've turned it into like fake grass laid down. They turned it into workout areas. They've turned it into pitching cages and batting cages and things like that, so that you can have people doing all these things all at once and spread out your training as much as possible. So there's some steps you can take. How much is going to be effective is what we're going to have to wait and see, I guess. I don't know if they're trying.
Do you remember when Google came out with a self-driving car, and the self-driving car would come up to an intersection and it would stop and it wouldn't go at a four-way stop because human drivers never stop. They do rolling stops because they make eye contact with other drivers and they don't. And the Google engineers were completely flummoxed. They're like, well, drivers have to stop being so idiotic and do exactly what they're supposed to do all the time.
It would only work if you had other machines handling all of it.
Yeah. If it was just all self-driving machines. Guess what? They're all humans. It's not going to work. It's not. I mean, that's great, and it's, you know, that is assuming that the players are going to follow these rules in order to have a season, and I don't have trust in these players to have to do it. I mean, we can barely trust half the NFL players to not have a gun in the car or have or marijuana in the dashboard. You know,
don't put it in your car.
Or one of your star athletes, Zeke Elliott, getting high or being high on a Twitch channel. You know, it's like, if you can't trust them to do that, what trust do you have that they're actually socially distancing? And they're not. They're not. I mean.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to wrap up our main event for now. And we're just going to do a couple things here that I want to touch in the last call.
Time to look around and get your bearings. It's time for the last call.
So last call, I just got a couple things. First off, today apparently Patrick Mahomes, and I got an update saying Patrick Mahomes had signed a new deal. It was a 10-year deal worth $400 million. I was like, that's ridiculously good. I was like, that seems about right, though. And then like 20 minutes later, they're like, no, it was $450 million. I was like, that seems kind of high, because I thought, you know, we've talked about this. I thought $40 million was what he'd get. And then by the time I got home, they're like, oops, sorry, $503 million over 10 years. It is the first $500 million contract in professional sports.
Technically, it's a 12-year contract because that's an extension off.
It is an extension off his current two years, yes. So it's really interesting, I guess, in this regard. It's going to be massively high. The way they've done it, though, is they've set it up as the Chiefs essentially have to guarantee his money a year or two out, so that, like, if he got hurt, something happened, they still have to pay him his full salary the following year or the following 2 years. He has certain times in which the guarantees kick in, and a team has to agree to kick in this extra salary. So long as they do that, he's going to be guaranteed $477 million if they just keep, you know, hitting those guarantees.
Right. If he keeps being Aaron Rodgers, like Aaron Rodgers was 10 years ago, he'll get paid all that money. You know, continue being consistent.
And if
as long as he doesn't have a massive drop off or he doesn't get injured,
if he gets massively injured or has an injury that causes a massive drop off or something like that, because, I mean, his talent and ability, I mean, like, he's not going to have a drop-off unless, I mean, he'll have probably some drop-off, but he's not going to have a massive drop-off unless he's hurt. Right. He'll have some drop-off in the fact that before he signed this deal, the Chiefs they had $3 million in cap space. As of this point, next year, they're $16 million over the cap, and there's going to be some cuts. There's going to be some changes, but, you know, that's next year.
Right.
This year, they've signed Tyreek Hill. They've got a bunch of people there. They've got a window, and he definitely keeps you in the window as long as he can, right? I mean, like, he's that kind of talent, and you keep him around. You got to pay him what you can. I thought $40 million was going to be what he'd get, but man, he's going to average $50 million a year. He won't get $50 million every year, but he's going to get a lot of money. He's going to be pinning down. I mean, the entire NFL salary cap for this next year per team is $198 million. I mean, he's accounting for nearly a quarter of an entire.
Aaron Rodgers, when he signed his last extension, he was worth 25% of the salary cap for the Packers, right? It was close to it. It was like 23 to. It was close. It was over 20%, I think.
I think this would actually be the contract, because I think when Rodgers signed his deal, I think it was the richest at the time. But as a percentage of cap space, available cap space, it still didn't match Flacco's contract. Joe Flacco's contract after winning the Super Bowl was still the highest percentage of a cap that any team had ever devoted to one player. This might break it, I think. I can't remember. I don't know what the numbers were, but that contract was crazy. Just crazy.
John, I remembered what we were talking about before we started the podcast. Okay. All four shows on KFAN today were talking about this Mahomes contract.
Okay.
And they're like, oh, well, Kirk Cousins is going to want to restructure now, isn't he?
Well, this was a great, reasonable answer to the Kirk Cousins contract of let's guarantee every dollar. And they're like, how about we guarantee you every dollar in two-year increments? Like, we'll guarantee you 2 years out, but we're not guaranteeing you the full deal. A 10-year contract in the NFL is insane. It's an insane amount of time.
But what we also talked about, too, was I just love that the Minnesota folks were all being snarky about how Kirk Cousins is going to be PO'd, that he's not the highest paid quarterback in the league anymore.
Well, he should be better then.
Anyways, no, he shouldn't be. And same with the people that are saying that, well, now that Mahomes signed this contract to Sean Watson and Dak Prescott, they should be licking their chops. They haven't done anything compared to Mahomes. Mahomes is the face of the NFL right now. Anyways,
they're both nice, but they're not nowhere near Mahomes. No, not anywhere.
No. Deshaun Watson, talent-wise, maybe. But otherwise, no, they haven't done what he's done. And Mahomes is the face of the NFL. Yeah. But I went back to the when we were talking about the Magic Johnson at one point, the 25-year, $25 million contract. You know, I'm going to play for the Lakers forever. And, you know, I think 10 years, it seems insane now that he's making $40 million a year. 10 years ago, a quarterback making $20 million a year was insane. Yeah. It's doubled in 10 years.
It's like Ilya Kovalchuk area.
The Chiefs might be actually making some money off this thing in the long run, because who's the next hot quarterback that's coming? Do you remember when, like, Cousins and now Mahomes and Flacco and who is the other one? Not Wentz, because Wentz isn't around yet. Who's the other young quarterback that has the big contract that's more than Aaron Rodgers now?
Well, at this point, Stafford has a bigger contract too, I believe.
Stafford. I mean, the quarterbacks just keep getting paid more and more and more. If they still have, in 10 years from now, if they still have Mahomes anywhere near $40 million, he might be a bargain.
Maybe
because some young quarterback, let's say next year Lamar Jackson comes out and has an even more of a breakout season, takes Baltimore to the Super Bowl and wins, he's going to want to renegotiate his contract and say, I'm better than Mahomes. You better pay me more than Mahomes or I'm out.
He can renegotiate at the end of this year too, because this is his third season coming up. So yeah.
I pay attention, John. I'm not just here. I'm for my good looks. I know what I'm talking about. Like, I know, but like, that's the thing. So say Lamar Jackson, because Lamar Jackson is a different style quarterback, but he is exciting. Yeah. And he proved he can actually, you know, everyone said he's just a running back. No, that guy can throw. He got a whole lot better at throwing, but it's the same time. Let's say he comes out for 3,500 yards passing, 28 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, runs for 1,000 yards and 5 more touchdowns. Wins another MVP and wins the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Goes to Baltimore and goes, all right, guys, Mahomes made this much.
Where are my Flacco money?
I've won back-to-back MVPs now. He's only got one. And now we both have Super Bowls. Pay me.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, they're going to have to pay him more.
He's got some opt-outs in there too, though. So that'll be the interesting part. The other thing I want to say, and you touched on it earlier,
Kansas City's a great organization, though, man.
Yeah,
I don't. Smart. I think he likes it there, and
yeah,
They've always been a good organization. They've just always been kind of snake bit with everything. But all right.
And like I was just saying, though, you touched on it earlier, the Washington football franchise is looking to seriously consider changing their name. And, man, if they don't go with Red Tails, I don't know what they're thinking at this point. That's so good. It's so good.
It is. I like it a lot. My only one thing is that it would be, yeah, you'd be going from one racial epithet to another racial. Did I use epithet there, right?
No, I don't think so. No, but it's close. No. I think. But either
way, you'd be going from one racial name to another. That's the only epithet thing I have about it. Is like maybe someone will have a problem with that, but otherwise, I love the Red Tails. Of course, we're referring to the Tuskegee Airmen, who were the
they literally had red
the black Air Force pilots or Army Air Corps. Air Corps pilots back in World War II that had an unbelievable. Go watch the movie. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, Red Tails. Yeah, that's Cuba Gooding Jr. I believe is in that movie. Yeah, I mean the difference is there that you know you have a logo of a plane. It's in itself. It's not a name that was made that be discriminatory. It was literally the paint job they put on their planes. Yep. And describe the type of planes and everything that they had. So, yeah, that makes a lot more sense.
They didn't have red tails because of their race. It's just that back then, the segregation that they had that.
The units.
I mean, that's kind of problematic, but it was, you know, it was
every unit painted themselves somewhat differently, too, because wanted to recognize planes for squadrons and stuff. Yeah.
Right. That's how they identified themselves. When you're flying up in the sky, you're looking down there and you go, oh, there's the red tails. There's the blue tails. You know, everybody had a different tail color on their P-47s, I think they flew. P-47s.
Depending which theater you're in. P-51s would be Europe, though. Anyhow, the other thing that is, of course, very important that
we can't get off Washington yet because I have a name.
Go ahead.
I have a name, a very PC name for you, John.
Okay, go ahead.
The Washington George Washingtons.
Okay. The one I thought of, and it's got a little bit of the consonants in it. I thought the Washington Wasps, and then don't have a wasp, have a really pale looking, you know, waspy guy. You know, no, I'm just.
Do you remember? Sorry, I listened to him all day on the way back home. Do you remember how Common Man always refers to him as lunatic liberals and crackpot conservatives?
No. I don't remember that part. I guess,
but that's what he refers to both sides as the crackpot conservatives or the lunatic liberals. He said, just change their names with whoever's the president for that 4 years, so they go back and forth from the lunatics to the crackpots.
Nice. That's like
brilliant. I love it. That's funny. Yes. Sorry.
The one other thing I want to touch on: if you followed us on Twitter, you know that this is an important thing to remember. Everybody, Singing in the Rain is way better than Newsies.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah, so if you're judging musicals, Singing in the Rain, anything with Gene Kelly has to go up the list. That man is brilliant. He could sing and dance. He was amazing. And Newsies is nice, but if you're taking a musical, you take Gene Kelly over Christian Bale.
Who did you say was the Newsies person in our lives? Trina?
Oh, yeah, my wife Trina definitely would like Newsies, but I think she would also recognize that Singing in the Rain is the better musical. And musical movie, yeah.
Who were we talking about though? That said that they like Newsies better.
I said that my wife would probably be the one vote who would go against me.
Okay, got it.
Anyhow, thank you again.
I'm glad she came around to the sane side.
Yeah, well, you know, she at least agrees on this. Let's say thank you again, everybody, for joining us again for this week. We've gone maybe a little long this week in talking about lots of things, although none of them are games. Thank you for joining us, especially all of our friends all over the world, Canada, the United States, UK, Germany, Austria, and other, which is my favorite one.
Bulgaria.
Yeah. Podbean doesn't know what country that is, but other. Maybe you're just at sea. Maybe it's somebody who's just at sea and somehow can download my podcast. But
maybe you're sitting on an island with Wilson. Yeah. Who knows?
Remember, you can find our show at iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and much, much more. Please remember, of course, to subscribe, download, listen, rate, and review us 5 stars, of course, on the rating, because we've earned it. We've definitely earned it. You can follow this podcast at Scotty Johnny Pod. You can follow me at Not So Humble Host, and you can follow Aaron at Cheddar Talk. And remember,
at Cheddar Talk,
whether you are on the go or on the town or just staying at home and staying safe in your little mask, remember that it is always on Wisconsin.
Wilson!
This has been the Scotty Johnny Podcast. Remember to find the boys on Twitter at ScottyJohnny1 or online at ScottyJohnny.com. Thanks for listening, and on Wisconsin.